Good morning, First Friends Church. It is great to see all of you here once again, worshiping with us. A welcome to all of you who are here with us in person, and of course, a welcome to all of you who are worshiping with us online. Yes, there's Andy up close and personal. That's what you need in your life on a Sunday morning. We only have a couple of announcements. So the first one is this. Men's Rally in the Valley has been rescheduled. It will be in October at the Covelli Center. They got permission to hold the event there. So we have signs, yard signs, if you would like to help promote the Men's Rally in the Valley. They are in the lobby, so on your way out, if you want to grab one and put that in your yard, I'm sure it'd be much appreciated. If you have any questions about Men's Rally this year, you can talk to Mark Colas, and he'd be happy to fill you in on any details you would like to know more about.
Yes, and there is a movement to get our kids some back-to-school goodie bags. I know this is a strange year for many school, probably everyone going back to school. It'll be different in some way, shape, or form. These goodie bags will be good for kids that are going back to school or staying home and learning there. Whatever the case, we want to invite you to pick up a goodie bag starting next Sunday, and they'll be available for a few weeks, so you can just grab them next Sunday. If you have any questions, you can talk to Cheryl Woolman. She's putting those together. And one little really, really quick thing. If you see someone who is in my family with curly hair, it might be her birthday, so you can wish her a happy birthday.
Interesting.
Yes, indeed.
Interesting. All right. And then, like, one last thing. I believe, since you gave me a shout-out for my anniversary, this coming Saturday
would be correct?
Okay. So this coming Saturday, both you and Mr. Barnes over there are celebrating their 10-year anniversary here with us at First Friends. And so I'd like to give a shout-out.
Yeah. Thank you.
For that. I would like to say that it's been a pleasure for the last 10 years, and mostly that would be true.
Mostly it would. And yeah. It's been a blur. That's for sure.
Oh, well, yeah, that's absolutely true.
A lot has happened in 10 years.
Oh, that's really true. All right.
That's all we got.
I think that's it.
So let's worship together. I want to invite you to stand, and we have a theme this morning. We have a new sermon series, spoiler alert, called Transformation of the Heart. No, renovation of the heart. And so we're going to have a theme today of surrendering our heart, of allowing God in to take control of our heart, to renovate our heart, to transform us from the inside out. So we're going to start with this favorite hymn, Come Thou Fount, one of my favorite hymns, that also has that theme of surrendering our heart to God.
Oh, to grace how great a debt. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a feather bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. So here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for
as we think about surrendering our hearts and letting God come in and transform and renovate our hearts, let's sing this line again with that in mind. We're recognizing that we're prone to wander. We're recognizing that we're prone to leave the God we love, to sin against that God. So we're saying, God, we surrender our heart. Take it, Lord, take it and hold it. Seal it for your courts and for your kingdom. Let's surrender to him. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. So here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Oh,
As Andy already alluded to, we're going to start a new series today called Renovation of the Heart. The idea that we are building our lives and inviting God into this process of our lives being built, that theme of renovation and sort of construction. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that we're going to have on the screen here that I want to read. So just listen to these words and let them soak into your soul today. Each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Today, you are building your life. It's not a question of if you are or are not. Every single one of us, we are building our lives out of something. And I love the imagery here. You can either be building your life out of things that are steadfast, like gold and silver, costly stones, things that will last, that will stand the test of the coming of the day. Or you're building your life of things like wood or hay or straw, which not only feature in the story of the three little pigs, but it's a reminder that you can build your life out of things that aren't going to last and things that don't really matter. So today, as we start to talk about renovating our hearts and the construction that God is doing within us, not only do I want you to think about what you're building your life with, but probably the most important part of this passage is, what are you building your life on? Let's read that together, starting at the beginning through that very first, those two sentences, starting with each one and finishing with Jesus Christ. Read it with me. Each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. This next song we're going to sing, when we get to the bridge, it talks about building our lives upon the love of God, the love of Christ, because it is a firm foundation. So today, as we sing, reflect on not only how you're building your life, but upon which foundation you are choosing to build your life.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, you are worthy, God, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Declare him holy.
Love to those around me.
Just a moment, let's reflect on what that means to allow God to fill our hearts with His love and lead us in that love to those around us. Sing that one more time. Give it all you got. We're singing.
Father God, today we come and we bring our hearts to you, and we know that you are doing your work not only around us and through us, but also within us. That you are transforming us, that you are renovating our hearts. So we declare today that we want to build our lives on the foundation, the firm foundation of the love of Jesus. We're thankful that a cornerstone has already been laid, Jesus, through your life and your death and your resurrection, that you are the worthy one, the name above every other name. And so we want to join what your Holy Spirit is doing in us in this construction project to build us into the people that you want us to be for the sake of the world around us. We're thankful for the opportunity to worship today and to reflect on these things. We pray in this moment that you would bless Mike, that you would continue to just dwell in him and be on his mind, his heart, and be with his words today, that they might sink into our hearts, that you might do your work to change us even in these moments as we share together and we study scripture. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
All right, amen. I love what both Pete and Andy had to say during worship, where this idea of building our lives, we are always building our lives. In fact, the first thing that I wanted to say this morning is that we all have a spirit. We all have a spirit within us, and it has been and is being formed. So Dallas Willard, one of the spiritual formation giants of the 20th century, said this: our life and how we find the world now and in the future is almost totally a simple result of what we have become in the depths of our being, in our spirit, will, or heart. From there, we see our world and interpret reality. From there, we make our choices, break forth into action, and try to change our world. We live from our depths, most of which we do not understand. So, when I was about 10 years old, I had a friend who I would spend countless hours outside riding four-wheelers with. And as a 10-year-old boy, it doesn't get much more fun than riding four-wheelers across acres of land, going fast, and feeling the independence the further away we got from where the adults were. I remember those days fondly because it was truly my first real taste of freedom in life. Out in the middle of the woods or in the fields, far away from the house, there was no one who was immediately there that could tell us what to do. And so one day, my friend and I were riding. He was driving, I was on the back of the four-wheeler, and we decided that we were going to break one of our parents' rules, which was to wear our helmets while we were riding, because we knew that our parents would likely never know. We're out far away from the house, they're never going to find out. And it was even more freeing and rebellious to ride without our helmets. We were pushing those boundaries of freedom. But I would soon learn this to be a mistake. So as we were weaving in and out of the trees in the woods, having the time of our lives, I remember my friend yelling something back towards me, which I would later find out was "duck." And not a split second later, my face smacked into a hanging branch over the trail. He slammed on the brakes, and I remember putting my hand on my face and woozily pulling it off, and it was soaked in blood. Now, obviously, I didn't die. I was okay. But it took an ER visit and several stitches right above my left eye to solve this problem. We're all being formed in life, whether conscious of it or not. It might be from those that we spend time with. It might be the media and social media outlets we spend the most time consuming, or even things like news articles or books that we read. But whether or not we have given them permission, the people that we spend the most time with and the information sources we spend the most time engaging form us in ways that we may not even realize. My friend and I were being formed by each other as 10-year-olds, daring to see what all we could get away with. That action of riding without our helmets would not have happened had we, in our hearts, not had this rebellious desire to push the boundaries of our freedom. And so the question we must raise as Christians who are striving to follow Jesus in every area of our lives is this: who in your life has the loudest voice? And not only that, but more specifically, who are you allowing, who are you giving permission to speak the loudest? Because it's the voices, whether by people we know personally or not, that form us. It isn't so much will we be formed, but by whom will we be formed? Dallas Willard says, "The greatest need you and I have, the greatest need of the collective humanity, is a renovation of our hearts. That spiritual place within us from which outlook, choices, and actions come for many has been formed by a world away from God. Now it must be transformed. The only hope for humanity lies in the fact that our spiritual dimension has been formed, so it also can be transformed." In this new series, Renovation of the Heart, we are going to be walking through Dallas Willard's book by the same title. And this series is going to explore what it means to be formed by the character of Christ from the depths of our being. But what I'm hoping we walk away with through this whole series is this general idea of how being intentional with our formation process in partnership with Jesus can lead to a change in character that is aligned with the one whom we follow. And so what we're going to be looking at this morning are the two types of formation, the two different ways that you and I can be formed, because we're all being formed. There is outside in formation, and there is inside out formation. And we're going to be taking a look in more detail at those in a minute. Dallas Willard exists at like 30,000 feet. He's way more smart than I, or way smarter than I am. And so this week was basically me wrestling his thoughts down to a level that even I could understand. So that I'm just want to give a couple general terms to start, and then we'll try and land this plane by the end of the sermon. But to get us started, outside in formation is the attempt to change something about ourselves, but only focusing on the external results, and thus nothing on the inside gets changed. On the contrary, inside out formation is the attempt to grow and change our inner being, heart, or spirit, and as a result, we naturally change externally. And so I would argue, and I think Dallas Willard argues, that the only formation that actually works long term is inside out formation. And that outside in formation, sure, it might look good on the surface. And for, you know, a short time, it may even appear to work. But in the end, it will always fail. Because the thing we have to remember is this. It's not if we will be formed, but by whom will we be formed? And sometimes we are being formed in an inside-out manner, that which leads to change, by something or someone that we didn't even realize was forming us. So what often happens is that we are consciously trying to grow in Jesus, maybe through an outside-in formation, that way that doesn't quite work, but we are unconsciously being formed by something else through inside-out formation. And so the result is that our lives look more like, let's say, the pundits of the news or the cable news channels we watch, or the friends that we spend time with, more than Jesus. And it's my guess that most of us in this room would say we want to be formed by Jesus. And that's really great. But here's the thing. If we do not approach our spiritual formation, our method of growth, in the appropriate way, we are not going to become the people that we want to become. We might be able to look like it on the outside. We might be able to fake it, put our masks on, and put on a good show, but we will feel empty on the inside. It will not lead to real change. So let's break these two terms down just a little bit. Outside in formation. Outside in formation will always lead to burnout. And this is true in every area of life. Outside in formation will always lead us to burnout, because outside in formation essentially tells us that by simply changing our actions, we can change who we are from the depths of our being. So let me give you an example. By show of hands, who here has at one point in their life, whether successfully or unsuccessfully, had the desire to either work out more or eat healthier? Yes. Most of us, right? And how'd that go? So-so? Yeah. So-so. That's generally speaking how it goes. So-so. Maybe I did it well for a while, but, you know, sometimes for some people it lasts, sometimes it doesn't. See, the problem is when we go to make changes about ourselves, we often approach it from an outside-in way of formation. Outside-in formation focuses on the external manifestation of the outcome, and it ignores the process. So using our example of diet and exercise, we tend, you know, to focus only on the results and not the process of becoming healthier people. We know what we want to get. Down 10 pounds, swimsuit, ready body for the beach summer trip, whatever it is. But the problem is, when we are hyper-focused on the results and not the process, we lose momentum quickly because those results take time and they take effort. And therefore, instead of enjoying the process, we come to resent it. And we often give up. We focus on things like, you know, the scale or our waistlines and not the reason behind what we're doing. Outside in formation focuses only on what can be seen without changing within us what can't be seen. It's a quick fix. It's a band-aid on a bullet hole. We have to go deeper. Jesus was on to this idea when he gave his Sermon on the Mount. He repeated this phrase over and over. You have heard it said, but I say unto you. And he says it several times about several different things in the Sermon on the Mount. And what he is doing here is showing that for a long time, people were simply focused on the outward results, the law, without caring about inner change, grace. This is known otherwise as legalism. Remember, Jesus never meant to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And he's showing us that the law was meant to transform lives, but it had been twisted and used as an expected standard for people to live up to. And as a result, people were judging other people based on how well or how not well they were living up to it. That was not the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law was to give us guideposts to transform our lives. So I want to look at a couple examples to show that Jesus knew that outside in formation would never lead to actual change. So Matthew 5, 21 through 22. You have heard it said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. So murder is, I would say, a universal no-no, right? It is across all of humanity, across all of religions, murder is considered immoral and repugnant. But Jesus, knowing that outside in formation doesn't work, tells us that murder begins with anger in the heart, in the spirit. And if we are able to handle our anger well, what is the result? Less murder. Matthew 5, 27 through 28. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman or man lustfully has already committed adultery with her or him in their heart. Cheating on your partner is another, what we would consider a universal no-no. It displays breaking trust with the person whom you have committed yourself to. But Jesus, again, knowing that outside in formation doesn't work, tells us that adultery begins by lusting after what you cannot have. If we are able to change how we see other people, not as objects to be had, but as image bearers of God, then what is the result? Less adultery. Now, these are two extreme examples. But I think this principle rings true in almost every aspect of our lives. If we want to actually change the way we behave, we must work to change our hearts. We must work to change our spirit, to change our inner being. Because if we don't, we will not be aligned with our spirit, and we will be crushed by burnout, and we will give up. When you try to change your behavior, but your heart's not in it, it won't last, and you will feel like a failure. You will be burnt out. Dallas Willard tells us that if we want to be a reflection of Jesus's love, we cannot simply start with loving more. We first have to be formed by Jesus in a relationship, and as a result, we will be more loving people. He says, it is love itself, not loving behavior, or even the wish or intent to love, that has the power to always protect, always trust, always hope, put up with anything, and never quit. Merely trying to act lovingly will lead to despair and to the defeat of love. It will make us angry and hopeless. But taking love itself, God's kind of love, into the depths of our being through spiritual formation will, by contrast, enable us to act lovingly to an extent that we will be surprising, that will be surprising even to ourselves. When we change who we are on the inside, how we act externally might surprise us. It's not if we will be formed. It's by whom we will be formed. We can have the desire to be more Christ-like and never get there because we are approaching formation with the wrong mindset. In our pursuit of Christ-likeness, we must ask, are we being formed by Jesus, or are we just trying to do what we think Jesus wants us to do? Or to put it another way, are we trying to be more Christ-like without Christ? If you struggle in being Christ-like, that's okay. We all do. But maybe the problem is trying to appear to be more Christ-like without a change in heart. Outside in formation, in a sense, is just a fancy way of saying legalism. We do all the things we should be doing, but we're not actually changing into the people who we say we want to become. So what do? How can we avoid this outside in formation? Well, it's kind of obvious, and it's the other topic for today. We must pursue inside out formation, because inside out formation actually changes the person that we are. It changes not just our behavior, but our hearts. Inside out formation leads to transformation. When we change who we are on the inside, who we become on the outside will be a natural byproduct. To simply try to do more loving acts will feel burdensome. But if we pursue this process of becoming more loving deep into our bones, we will naturally do more loving acts because it is who we are and it is a joy to do so. But this takes time and it takes effort. It will not happen overnight. It takes a lifetime. But if we're committed to the process instead of the results, we will see change. We will see change in who we are. A few years back, one of my youth group students, when we were talking about this concept, he asked this question. He said, so it's like, you don't change yourself, but you change what changes you. And I was like, yeah, that's it. That is the simplest and most wise way to put it. You don't change yourself, but you change what changes you. We must be defined more by the process, that internal change, rather than the results, our external change. If we focus on the process, the results will come. If we focus on the results, our spirits won't be aligned and we will get burnt out. Jesus said in Matthew 5:20, he says, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." And at a surface level reading of that text, that seems improbable. That seems like, man, I might never get into the kingdom of heaven because those Pharisees and those scribes were super righteous, right? But what he's really saying here is that the perceived righteousness of the Pharisees and scribes, it is high, sure. And everyone considers them to be some of the most righteous and devout people in the world, sure. But here's the thing. The Pharisees and the scribes were often focused simply on their external righteousness and not their inward change. They did things like, and Jesus talked about this in the Sermon on the Mount, they did things like pray on the street corners to be seen. But Jesus tells us to pray in secret. They made a big deal of fasting to be seen. But Jesus tells us to not tell anyone when we are fasting. Prayer and fasting are great spiritual exercises. But the point of both is to cultivate room in our lives for inward change, not to be seen externally as righteous or devout. Jesus is saying that even though the Pharisees and the scribes' righteousness might appear to be this at this super high level, you can and you must surpass them to enter the kingdom of heaven, because the way they are doing righteousness, the way they are pursuing formation, is outside in formation and it is not working. If you pursue an inside-out formation, you have already surpassed the Pharisees and the scribes, because your desire is to actually change who you are into the character of Christ. It's not about where you get, it's about how you're getting there. These people, they only appear righteous. The Pharisees and the scribes, they only appear righteous because it's what they're showing you. It doesn't mean it's actually true. It doesn't mean that their spirit is aligned with their actions. We can make ourselves feel good about praying every day and reading our Bibles every day and even fasting from time to time. But I will tell you this, if it is simply an effort to check boxes or to be seen as righteous, I honestly don't think God even cares that we're doing it. I really don't. God loves those things, but he wants us to do them in order to change our hearts, not to just fake our outward behavior. This is the way of the kingdom of God. This is the narrow path. This is the way of dying to self and living in Christ. Inside out transformation of the heart. Willard says that inside out formation for the Christian basically refers to the spirit-driven process of forming the inner world of the human self in such a way that it becomes like the inner being of Christ himself. In the degree to which inside-out formation in Christ is successful, the outer life of the individual becomes a natural expression or outflow of the character and teachings of Jesus. We live in a world where shallow and quick fixes reign supreme. But Jesus is calling us into a life, into the deep. And it is there and only there that we will grow and change as God grows us and changes us. Where outside in formation is legalism, inside out formation is grace. And when we pursue inside out formation, God will honor that process. God will honor that process. And so the most important thing to remember is that we don't have to face, because this is all intimidating, right? This whole concept, it's very intimidating. But here's the thing. We don't have to face this process alone. God is with us every single step of the way. My favorite passage of scripture, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and I love Eugene Patterson's The Message translation of this, says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly." I feel like every time I read that passage, like a weight off my shoulders. This pressure to live up to something is just gone. That's not what God cares about. I think the simplest way I can summarize all of this is that when we pursue outside in formation, we do it for God. Sorry, when we pursue outside in formation, we do it for God. It is a performance. We're doing it to live up to certain expectations we think we need to live up to. But when we pursue inside out formation, we do it with God. It's a relationship. There's a connection, and God grows us through it. Through the process of inside out formation. And we will learn all through this series, the hows and the whats of it. I'm leaving all that for Pete. But we will learn the unforced rhythms of grace. The unforced rhythms of grace. We will learn that it is a never-ending process. And so the pressure is off. The pressure's off. It's not about where we get. It's about how we get there. We don't have to check boxes to appear more righteous. There is no result to attain. The question isn't whether or not you will be formed, but by whom you are being formed. So I want to leave you with these questions. Do you want to be formed by those who put pressure on you to live up to certain standards and results? Or do you want to be formed in a transformational, inside-out manner by a God who won't lay anything heavy on you, will keep company with you, and will show you how to take a real rest? Let's pray. God, you are good. And God, we know that in this life, there are so many voices and so many places that we can be formed. But the problem is many of those voices are calling us to live up to certain standards that we just don't need to. But God, you show us the unforced rhythms of grace. You show us what it looks like to take a real rest. You show us how growth in your kingdom can actually take place and lead to change. So God, I pray that each one of us this week or in the weeks to come during this series would take a careful inventory of our lives to see, where am I being formed? By whom am I being formed? And does Jesus have the loudest voice in that discussion? And God, if the answer is no, if Jesus isn't the loudest voice, we don't approach it from a shame perspective where, oh, I need to get better at that because that's just outside information at that point. But God, give us the grace to show us where you can meet us. And from this day forward, to walk with you in an inside out formation, to show us to fall in love with the process and the journey more so than the end or the results. Because God, with you, it is a never ending journey. And so we don't have to be focused on the end. We can just be focused on the here and now with you. And if we do that, we are going to grow and become people who align more with the character of Christ. So God, let that be so in our lives. Amen.
As we pray those words, and we ask God to consume us from the inside out, I invite you to stand. Let's continue to reflect on those words.
Sing this together 1,000 times. 1,000 times I've failed, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fate. Heart of my soul, and my heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Let's sing those words again in my heart and in my soul. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. From the inside out. In my heart and my soul. I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace to love.
Prophet Jeremiah, a visual understanding of this concept of God shaping us and molding us, creating us and recreating us. And so he said in Jeremiah 18, go down to the potter's house and I will give you my message there. Jeremiah recounts, so I went down to the potter's house and saw him working with clay at the wheel. He was making a pot from clay, but there was something wrong with the pot. So the potter used that clay to make another pot with his hands. He shaped the pot the way he wanted it to be. Then this message from the Lord came to me, said Jeremiah, family of Israel, you know that I can do the same thing with you. You are like the clay in the potter's hands, and I am the potter. This is the message from the Lord. Take just 30 seconds to surrender your heart to God. And to say to him, mold me, shape me, and change me.
Make this our prayer, that the Lord would change our hearts from the inside out.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
Sing that again.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
You are the potter.
As you pursue Christ and the formation that he can do in your life, I pray that you would seek after not that outside-in formation or transformation or renovation, but instead seek after that inside out, allowing God to hold your heart, shape it, form it, and change it. Wherever you are right now, whether here in person or worshiping online, wherever you're going next, go in God's grace.